don't know about you, but I'm glad that he gives me what I need, not what I want. That's who he is. Launch out a little differently this morning. I'll read the scripture afterwards. But the word the Lord gave me for you is entitled Dry Bones to Living Stones. And on Thursday in prayer, I received the seed of that message. And I realized that it referred to the process of that every believer undergoes. It's called transformation. It happens slowly, it over time as you walk with the Lord. Every born again believer goes through this process. And on our day of salvation, we are accepted, we're welcomed into his family with all our dead and dry bones. Then a process of dying and resurrection begins where you respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, and then you are changed or transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Father accepts or takes you from where you are and then takes you as you respond to the Holy Spirit to where he desires as well as where you need to go. This is the process of being transformed or fashioned through testing and trials and life experience into the very image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, 1-14. This describes how the Father initiates and is involved in this process of taking dead, dry bones, which are lives without him, being lived out in the flesh, which leads to helplessness, hopelessness, and death. And then he empowering those very same lives to live for him with resurrection power and have abundant life, John 10:10. We all know this story, but every time I read it, I just see the hand of the Lord. It's not just a vision. It's more than a vision. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And you know, when the Lord asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants you to pay attention. Can these bones, or these dry bones, live? And the prophet Ezekiel smartly answers, Lord God, you know. And he said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Hallelujah. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, flesh grew, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is perished, we are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and you will place, I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. I'm reading this because I want the Word of God to get into your spirit. I want it to activate something in you this morning. I want it to impact your dry bones this morning, your dead bones this morning. I'm not talking about being sleepy or being tired. I'm talking about areas in your life that have not yet responded to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead bones, dry bones, that He wants to come to life. And He will partner with you and I declare this morning, He will partner with you and I as we give Him these dry bones, these dead bones, and they will become living stones for the glory of God. Romans 8:6-10. You can put it up there, Robin, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified. This expresses the mindset of the flesh, which is cannot please God, the Scripture says. It's incapable of doing it. That's why the bones remain dead when they're not submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. The flesh cannot do it. It's not empowered to do it. Only the Holy Spirit and your response to the Holy Spirit can birth new life. Now the mind of the flesh, which is the sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So, then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you're not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if one does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then, although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes or gives you or declares over you. That's what happens at the new birth. He declares you're declared righteous, and therefore doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but in the sight of the Father, he doesn't see sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. So Peter expresses it this way in 1 Peter 4:6. Those who are dead live in the Spirit. What really is dead is empowered to live by the Holy Spirit. And that's really a whole sermon in itself. So, dry bones to living stones. Now I'm going to read the text of today's message, 1 Peter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to Him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and this to their doom which they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dry bones to living stones. How do we arrive there? Well, I would actually say we never quite arrive. We're always undergoing this transforming process. But how should we respond if we're going to totally give those dead areas of our life, those dry bones, and allow him to breathe on them and transform them into living stones? Number one, let his word do its work in you. From verse 2, it says, long for the pure milk of the word. That word means desire or yearn for or hunger for God's word. Ask him to increase your appetite for his word. You think that's a prayer he's going to ignore? I think not. Don't settle for an appetizer or an appetizer, but spend time in the word and digest it like you would a 7-course meal. There's not many times I've had those type of meals, but when I have, you can't be doing one of these. You have to eat the first course, give yourself a little time, digest it, then you start the second and the third and so forth. And this is how we should approach the word. It's not conquer it. Oh, I read my 5 chapters this morning. Good for me. What did you get out of it? I don't know how Digest it. Let the word do its work in you. It's not about quantity. It's about letting the work come in and find a home and do its perfect work. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. James 1:4, let endurance have its perfect result, or the margin says work, its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The principle here applies to the test of your faith through trials, James 1:3, as well as submitting yourself and allowing the Word of God to produce His desired result in you. That's why you can read a passage of Scripture 10 times, but on that 10th time, you say, oh, I never saw that before. Why is that? Because now at that particular time in your life, God wants that word to do something. He wants to release it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. And it may be the second time, third time. You can continue to read the same scripture and you will always find something new if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. That you may grow, back in verse 2 here, verse Peter 2, that you may grow with respect to salvation, that process of salvation. See, one of the reasons why people remain babies in the kingdom is they think, okay, I've got my ticket to heaven, I'm all set, I'm good, I don't have to worry now. That's not salvation. That's not God's intention of salvation. It is true that you will go to heaven, but you may just be able to drag your butt in the gate. God doesn't want that. He wants you to experience salvation from the day of the new birth until either Jesus comes or he takes you home. So it's designed to be an ongoing work in all of us, that salvation process, because you're never going to outgrow your need for being saved. That's why. You're always going to need him to deliver you, help you, save you. I don't care how you say it, you're never going to outgrow your need for the Lord. Colossians 2:19. The context here is when you long for and let Christ and his word do a complete work in you. It says, holding fast or closely to Jesus, the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Do you want the kind of growth that God can give you? Or do you want to get on the fast track and rely on your flesh, rely on your abilities, or even the gifts that God has given you? Those will only take you so far, even though they are a blessing. But when you put your growth in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the sky is the limit. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. So we need to commit ourselves fully to the process and give the Holy Spirit permission to do a deeper work and not a surface work or a cosmetic job. You know what I mean by a cosmetic job? It looks good on the surface. That's the face, that's your church face. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing awesome. Thank you for asking. Meanwhile, inside you're dying. And you won't be truthful. That's cosmetic. So do you want to settle for cosmetic? Everything looks good? Or do you want it to really look good from the inside out? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You can't do it. He can do it, though. So let the Word of God do its work in you. Secondly, in undergoing this transformation of dry bones to living stones, receive and be open to his kindness and mercy. Oh my goodness. Why do we put the brakes on when God just wants to love us and be good to us? From verse 3 and verse 10. It says, verse 3, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, in other words, if you have really understood his goodness, it will change how you think first, which will then in turn influence how you act, how you behave. If you really understand that, how good he is and how kind he is. That's because we don't truly understand how much we've been forgiven. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Romans 2, verse 4. In going to read it in the Amplified. Bear with me. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-enduring patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will? See, this is the key. The work, the real work, is done here. Not on the surface, but inside. Verse 10, 1 Peter, our text. Now you have received mercy. The Father has reached out to you. And by the way, he continues to reach out. That's who he is. You have received mercy in your lost, sinful condition. And it's continues to be extended and allows you to experience his grace and his mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Now God, being rich in mercy because of his great love to which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And again, it goes right on to verse 8. For time's sake, I'll let you read it on your own time. But I will read it in the Amplified. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 4. But God, so rich he is in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Woo! This love is pretty intense. And that's why we so often put walls up. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which he quickened him, Jesus, for it is by grace, by his favor and mercy that you didn't deserve, that you are saved, and by the way, continued to be saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Jesus in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by this free grace that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. So we need to express thankfulness for his kindness and mercy by doing what? Extending that same kindness and mercy to others who, by the way, don't deserve it. And that's why oftentimes we take offense. Instead of extending God's grace and mercy to those who deserve it, who were just like you, they behave just like you did. Hopefully you don't anymore. And so we take offense at these sinners. Who do they think they are? We need to extend the very same grace that he extended to us when we didn't deserve it either. And that's something the flesh does not want to do. I guarantee you. Given a choice, the flesh won't do it. But you have to let the Holy Spirit override what the flesh wants to do. Dry bones to living stones. Number three in this process. And this is not an exhaustive list, by the way. Seek and commit to intimacy in relationship with Jesus. Verse 4. It says, coming to him, to Jesus, as to a living stone. And then it's in verse 6, it quotes Isaiah 28:16. You have it in your Bibles. The cornerstone, which the builders rejected, and so forth. So it's illustrating the fact of his accomplishment, his strength, his willingness to submit to the will of the Father, and the living stone, that source of eternal life, pointing to the necessity of relationship with him and the importance of staying in union and connected with him. You know, the divorce rate is horrendous in this country, even among Christians. And one of the favorite excuses, because it's an excuse, is we fell out of love. That's a bunch of... It is. Just let's call it what it is. But if you don't spend time and commit to intimacy with Jesus Christ, you will be... begin to use that very same excuse. I don't feel his presence. I pray and I don't. You see, intimacy means a constant union. That's what we call communion. It takes a commitment. He commits, because he never breaks covenant, but we in turn need to commit to that also. And that word coming, when it says coming to him as to a living stone, that word means, and that's exactly what he was saying this morning, by the way, that word means to approach or draw near. Coming to him. The Apostle John. What did he do? He didn't sit in the last seat in the room. What did he do? He got close. He drew near. He approached the Lord. And he had a very special relationship because of that. So coming to him, drawing near, approaching him, this is the same word used multiple times in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Same word again, Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to him, to God, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I don't know about you, but that brings me great comfort. He's never too busy. He's always available when I need prayer. And I think the Father's going to hear his prayers. What do you think? That'll wake you up this morning. That's what the fans aren't on. That's probably part of the problem this morning. Hebrews 10:22. Same word. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. He wants us to draw near. He desires intimacy. He's always reaching out to you and I with that invitation to come. How many times have we heard it in a prophetic context? In a church service. Not once, not twice, many times. Because that's his desire, that's his heart's desire that we would come. He desires intimacy. So we need to seek intimacy with him and not shy away from this process of becoming a living stone. You know, he sees that. He sees you as a living stone. But you have to make the right choices to bring it about. He will breathe on those dead bones, those dry bones in your life, but not when they're hidden away in some closet someplace, some recess of your life. And, you know, it's barred, chained, welded shut. There's a do not enter sign on there. Don't go there. He won't violate that. Number four, let the Lord oversee and refine this building process. Verse 5. You also, as living or lively stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. And the margin note in the New American says, allow yourselves to be built up. In other words, allow God to supervise the building process in your life. He will build your spiritual house with strength and stability to withstand the storms of life. He will build a testimony that will glorify the Father. Hebrews 4:4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And if you've ever been at the hands of a shoddy contractor that you regretted hiring because either it was cheaper or it was somebody you knew or somebody you knew, it's better to select the right builder, the right contractor. And the Lord will build in such a way that you'll never regret submitting to that process. Doesn't mean it won't cost you or be painful at times, require things of you, but you won't regret it. Hebrews 4:6, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope till the end. And that word built up is most many times translated edify in the scripture. Like 1 Corinthians 8:1, love edifies. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11, for your own reading pleasure. Romans 12:1, in the Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It's what you should do, in short, and what you know you should do as well. So we need to let his love consume us. You know what that looks like? You know what that feels like? It means every bit of selfishness in you will go. How many of you will admit that you're selfish? I am. Well, if you and I would let his love totally consume us, we would live a Christ-centered life and not a self-centered life. Because that love would just push all that selfishness away. And we would think of nothing other than pleasing him, living for him, being thankful to him. And that's why I was getting that song, or it was in the rotation. We need to let his love consume or rule and reign in us. And number five, in this process of dry bones being transformed into living stones, praise him for his goodness and faithfulness. Verse 9, proclaim the excellencies of him. That word actually means virtue or excellence, goodness, purity, moral excellence. Psalms 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his excellent greatness. In let everything that has breath at the end of Psalm 150 praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. We are partakers of a divine nature, it says there. Do you understand what that means? You have dynamite within inside of you. That dunamis power, that's the same word that we use in the English language for dynamite. That means it will blow away anything. Once we submit to the Holy Spirit of God, it will blow anything out of your path that stands in the fulfilling of the promises and plans of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's up to us. Again, it's the submission. But we have that divine nature within us. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. He will do it. Romans 12:1. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be real and genuine. So, need to let the love of the Lord control you. You know, do you understand what that means? It means you no longer do what you want to do. What you desire to do does no longer matter to you. Because the love of God, Paul says, the love of God controls or constrains us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. That's the goal, my friends. It's called being sold out to Jesus. Sold out. Period. Done. Settled. My mind's made up. I'm standing on the promises. I'm not moving unless he says move. I'm not going unless he says go. I'm not speaking unless he says speak. Sold out. Let that expression that we hear, let go and let God, you understand what that really is saying? It's describing this process right here that we're talking about. This process of dry bones, dead, useless, worthless, self-centered, selfish, self-serving, sinful. Do you get it? It's the process of those things that don't belong to a blood-bought believer. They don't belong in my life. They don't belong in your life. It's submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, and only then, will those things, those dry, dead, ugly, sinful things, be transformed by the power of the resurrected Christ from dry bones to living stones for the glory of God. That's what it means, my friends, to let go and let God. To God be the glory for great things he has done. And that it doesn't end there. For the great things he is doing and the great things he will do. Because I don't know about you, but God's not finished with me yet. Thank God that he's not. I still have a ways to go on this journey. But I have put my trust in the one who can take me to the finish line. That I can wave the flag, the banner of Jesus Christ in victory. May your one desire be that those areas that are still remain in your life, those dry bones, under the guidance, influence, and power of the Holy Spirit, will be changed into living stones for the glory of God. And I better stop here because I'm going to keep preaching if I keep going. That's the word of God, my friends. It's sharper. It goes deeper than any two-edged sword, dividing what is an impossibility, by the way, between bone and marrow. You can't do it without damaging in the natural. You cannot do it. It's an impossibility, but the Word of God can do it if we let it. You awake? Anybody still awake? Pinch your neighbor. You have my permission. God bless you for being patient. I really had